So one of the first things that I say to clients is, well, what if you decided to doubt the doubt?
Nice.
What if the belief wasn't the thing that you doubted anymore? What if it was the doubt? Because we never think of it like that. We believe our beliefs.
Welcome to Small Business Talk for Coaches with Kathy Smith. This podcast is the ultimate resource for coaches looking to transform their coaching passion into a thriving business. Kathy Smith began a journey as a marketing professional in 2001 and has helped thousands of businesses to grow. Kathy specializes in helping coaches and is dedicated to showing you how to get your first clients and then many more. If you are ready to take your coaching practice to the next level, then you are in the right place. Whether you are just starting your coaching journey or you're an experienced coach not seeing the results you desire, then this podcast is for you.
Welcome to Small Business Talk for Coaches, episode 237. Today, my special guest is Anne McEwen from 2 Empower Coaching. And we thought we would get a little bit negative today. So we're going to talk about how to manage and then remove your negative beliefs. Welcome, Anne.
Hi, thanks, Kathy. It's a delight to be here. I love your work and what you do and how you help coaches. So I feel very privileged to be part of that.
Thank you so much. So we are definitely all our worst critic, don't we? We start those negative beliefs, starts just a little thing, and then suddenly we blow it into quite often a very large mountain. So how do you think we could maybe manage that and help ourselves a bit better?
I think one of the biggest things is the awareness around that we do it in the first place, because often we're very negative and we don't even realize that we're being sort of negative or lacking belief in ourselves. And sometimes it needs someone else to point it out to us, you know, that someone will say, oh, everything you say is negative, or you're very hard on yourself, or why do you not believe you could make your business a success? And it's only then that we go, oh, I didn't even realize. It's so unconscious or in the subconscious that learned, like, if, you know, we've learned from very young, oh, don't blow your own trumpet, and who do you think you are? And so we play small. Without even realizing that actually it's a huge issue. It's a huge issue that affects our daily life and our business.
Yes, absolutely. And it's definitely a learned behavior, like you say, is don't be a tall poppy, you'll get cut off at the knees, and make sure you don't outshine and include everybody and all of those kinds of things. And the years of school where the merit award went to everybody, not actually the person that got merit, I believe that's turning around now. So, we definitely, it is a learned behavior.
Yeah. And I think, too, when we're young, often think of like a baby when it's learning to walk. Everybody's very encouraging, you know, come on, you can do it. Try, hold mum's hand, whatever. Even when they're trying to talk, it's like, oh, you know, say mama first, not dada. And we encourage. But then when we go to school, it's exactly as you said, that encouragement kind of stops. And it's not about you being your best unique self anymore. It's about you fitting in so the teacher can cope with a big class of 30. And even within the household, you know, if there are many siblings, it's like, oh, just sit down and be quiet so we can have dinner. And so I think those sort of doubts around ourselves can come in at a very young age. So one of the first things that I say to clients is, well, what if you decided to doubt the doubt?
Nice.
What if the belief wasn't the thing that you doubted anymore? What if it was the doubt? Because we never think of it like that. We believe our beliefs,
yes,
even if they're not necessarily true. And neuroscience has taught us that the brain doesn't know the difference between a real truth and an imagined truth. It just believes what we tell it.
Yep.
So if we're constantly telling it, I'm not good enough, I can't do this, I don't know how I'm going to manage, if that self-talk is negative, then that will lead to a negative emotion. A negative emotion leads to negative behavior and then a negative outcome.
Indeed.
And so being able to change that and turn it on its head, even if initially you don't 100% believe it, because people say to me, oh, you know, you're telling me to just say mantras or whatever, you know, positive statements, and I think that's rubbish and I don't think it works. And but neuroscience has actually taught us that whether you believe it or not, it's how the brain works. And the more we repeat anything, the deeper the pathway and the patterns that are in our psyche. And so you will get the outcome based on your thinking and your behavior. So that's where the kind of fake it till you make it. I don't really like that expression because I don't want people to be fake, but it's more about imagining, acting as if you already are that thing.
Yeah, I like act as if. I'm the same boat. I don't like fake it till you make it, but I definitely like act as if. If you walk into a room and you've got your shoulders back and you're walking in like you own it, that's going to be a lot more confidence and comforting for the people around you as well as yourself.
Yes.
Than if you walk in all hunched over because I'm a bit shy and I don't want to talk to anybody. So, yeah, I definitely like act as if. And and sometimes with those limiting beliefs, if we're not quite believing, sometimes a halfway step can be a really good thing too. So if we're, say, looking to lose weight and we're not believing that we can, well, maybe the halfway step is I like the way I look in my clothes. And then we can look at, okay, if that's the first thing we can believe, then maybe it's I like the way I look in my clothes if I was 1 kilo less, or whatever it is that we need to do in incremental steps if the first belief is too big.
Yes, absolutely. But then the other thing is like beliefs that we used to have that are no longer true. Sometimes I'll say that and people go, oh, I don't know. And I say, well, did you ever believe in Santa Claus? Yeah, well, is that true now? No. And so not all our beliefs are true.
No.
And so actually it's another way of kind of contradicting. What if what you're telling yourself is actually not true? And what I find is often that it can be true for that individual. You know, you say, well, it's true for you because that's how you view the world. That's how you see things. But it's not necessarily true for the people around you. And so often if we do have limiting beliefs about ourselves, a great exercise is to ask those who are close to you, what do you think about this? What strengths do you see in me? Where do you think I trip myself up? Because most people think much more highly of us than we think of ourselves.
Indeed. And I think that's a really important point, is that beliefs are things that we choose to believe, whether we're actually consciously choosing them or not. So we do have the ability to change it.
That's
so
right.
you might believe that your job is what you are, for instance. And then when you no longer do that job, so for instance, you might say, okay, I'm a lawyer. So your belief is that you're a lawyer. And then you decide not to practice law anymore. So you do something else. Then your belief becomes something different.
That's right.
Yes, you were a lawyer, but you don't believe you are now. So we do actually get to choose our beliefs. And sometimes we need to choose more wisely.
I actually have another exercise, which is really good that your listeners might find helpful if you're happy for me to share.
Of course.
I don't know if you've heard of it before, but it's called Stop and Think. Have you come across that?
No, I haven't.
Good. Well, that's good. It's good if it's something new.
Yay.
So basically, because the unconscious, it's unconscious because we're unaware of it, is running away with us and maybe controlling our thinking and therefore our language and our emotions. One thing that I suggest is that we have an elastic band around the wrist and you kind of ping it to use the body to stop the mind, because it's a bit like if someone's getting really angry and they're screaming and shouting and you watch on movies and somebody turns around and they slap them across the face. And I'm not suggesting that we slap ourselves or each other, but that is a kind of quick distraction, and it's using the sting of the slap on the body to interrupt the pattern of the mind. And so the rubber band around your wrist is a very gentle, it can actually be a wee bit sore on the inside of your wrist because it's quite sensitive there.
Yeah.
But you ping that and you say stop. And then the think is you ask yourself the questions. The T stands for true. Is this true? is what I'm saying to myself, is what I believe really, really true? And you might say, yeah, it is, but is it true for you? Is it true in the world? Or is it just something that maybe you think is true? And if it's not really, really true, then maybe it doesn't have to be a limiting belief. The H in the word thing, is this helpful? So if what you're thinking isn't helping you, in fact, it may be hindering you, then why continue to believe it? The I is this inspiring? Is what I'm saying to myself inspiring? Is the limiting belief I have inspiring me to keep going? If not, again, so what we're doing is we're questioning the belief and we're trying to constantly come up and say, well, if it's not really true and it's not helpful and it's not inspiring, then maybe it's not a good belief to have. The N is it necessary? You know, do we even need this belief? Is it, you know, if it's not necessary for your business to grow or your survival or your sense of self-worth, then get rid of it. And the K is it kind? So if what you're, is this belief helping you be kind to yourself and others? And again, if the answer is no, not really, then we should get rid of it. So the T-H-I-N-K and the stop and think. And I just love that. And I'm sure you're the same in the work that you do, but I'll say to clients, I can't just tell you this once and you just think, oh, that's a novel idea. You have to actually do it every day.
Yes.
It's that repetition of any habit, because the old belief is so embedded that doing this stop and think exercise and questioning every negative belief, we have to do it umpteen times a day just to neutralize the position within the mind.
Yes, absolutely. That pattern interrupter, because our habits become so ingrained that we don't even think about them. They're just automatic. So we go to that limiting belief as our go-to. So I really like that. I might borrow that one. So yeah, stop and welcome. Think. Yes. Pattern interrupter. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. No, you're very welcome too. And I suppose another one is about rewriting your script, rewriting your story. Because sometimes I'll say to people, write down everything. You know, what are all the negatives? What is everything that you're unhappy, and this is, it's bad, and that's sad, and this is not good, and I can't do that, and then I'll say, but you know, what if you could actually do that thing? I don't know. And that one question, what if you could, shifts the whole mindset to looking forward and going towards a goal instead of, you know, sitting away from it and feeling it's impossible. So that's another good one. And then rewriting the whole story, your whole from the place of, if I could do this, if I did believe I could do this, what would the story look like then?
Yes.
And then when you rewrite the script and you read it to yourself every day, that's you acting as if, again, all these things kind of intertwine. And it just feeds that confidence to the mind, which lifts our emotion and then gives us more energy and motivation to act on the new positive way of looking at things.
Yeah, I love that. And I also love the expression that says, aim for the moon, and if you miss, you'll still end up in the stars.
Yeah. That's a lovely one, isn't it? Yeah.
So just try it out. What have you got to lose? You've got absolutely nothing to lose.
Yeah. So perfect.
Okay, so we're thinking about the way that we're thinking about these beliefs, but if we've got something that's really stuck, what would you suggest we do there as a way to move that negativity?
I think it's very hard to do on our own. I think we need someone to help us reflect. We've all got blind spots
and we
can't see our own blind spots. And it's going to sound like an obvious answer. To me, it's an obvious answer, but you get a coach, someone that can actually help you shift out of it. And I actually believe that coaches need a coach. I have a coach.
Oh, 100%.
I think, you know, even you and I, we learn from each other. We you know, and people may have not studied the mind and behavior and psychology and neuroscience, any of that. And so you're walking blind. And it's tough. You have to be open to feedback.
Yes.
You have to be open to someone saying, Are you aware of how many times you've said the word I can't? Or are you aware
Just.
of how hard you are on yourself or how you're putting yourself down? Or so I think if you're really stuck, it needs a professional who has spent a lot of time learning how to help shift someone else's perspective of the world, because that's what's happened. You've got stuck in only your way of seeing a particular situation. And I know what happens with me, and then my coach will say, but Anne, what about such and such? And I think, oh my goodness, I didn't think of that.
Yeah. And sometimes it's just a case of verbalizing it, because we keep so much stow in our head. And then when we actually verbalize it and put it out into the world, we go, oh, there's no way that you would let somebody else say that to you. Why am
That's
I saying
right.
that to myself?
That's
The
right.
other thing that came to mind when you were saying that is we use the word just. I'm just a coach. I'm just a mum. I'm just a this. And it almost is trying to pull us small, make it that it negates whatever word we're using. So the mum, the coach.
Yeah.
Don't be just. Be amazing.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. And own it, you know, that whole, it's funny when we were talking earlier about the acting as if. I had a picture come into my mind of like a young girl jumping about in a tutu telling everyone she's a ballet dancer.
Yeah.
And, you know, as parents and aunties and whatever, we kind of laugh a wee bit, but we think, oh yeah, you know, she believes that she's a ballet dancer, and nobody's dare going to tell her that she's not, and she's dancing in front of the telly, and she's in her happy place. You know, she's joyful, and she's in. And so I think sometimes encouraging others and ourselves to step back into that more childlike ease of looking at the way, you know, I think we take life terribly seriously.
Yes.
And then if it doesn't exactly fit in the box that we're trying to squeeze it into, we just get so upset with ourselves and the world and our business and whatever. But if you could be a bit more carefree and just say, well, you know what, I'm going to try this. I believe I'm a famous ballet dancer, whether you do or not. And I believe my business is the best on the internet, whether you do or not. And I believe I'm a great coach, whether you do or, you know, like, and then you become like a magnet. I think, you know, the energy that you give off, you become a magnet to the people that resonate with you and that feel they need you.
Absolutely. And letting go of that perfectionism. Just put it out there and modify it as we go. In most of what we do now, we can adjust it, whether it be social media, whether it be digital. It's not in the days where things were set in stone and it cost a lot of money to have things printed in particular.
That's
or
right.
If you wanted to do any voice work, you had to go to a studio or video or anything. Now most of that we can do at home, or we can do our offices, we can do outside, we can go to the park, whatever. So just let go of that perfectionism and just do it and modify it and take on the feedback. But remember that that's one person's opinion. So
that's right.
If you've got those people that saying, oh, I don't like the way that you don't dye your hair anymore, or I don't like the fact that you wear red lipstick, or I don't like the fact that you're not wearing lipstick, or whatever it happens to be, that's just one person's opinion.
Yeah.
So if it doesn't feel good, like you say, the think, if it doesn't feel good for you, then let it go and just say, that's fine. That's your opinion. Thank you very much.
And I think knowing, that's a really valid point, because I think knowing that you will never please everybody all of the time, you know, that's such a great saying. I often think a lot of these old sayings, that they have such a deep meaning behind them, and it's why they've carried down through generations. But, you know, I remember my mum saying that to me, and even in my business, it's why I use that kind of magnet analogy, because I know there are some people that would be drawn to me and love the way I work, but equally there will be as many people that don't, you know. And so you can have thousands of coaches and we all offer something different, and we're all attracted in a different way.
Indeed. And that's actually a good thing, because not attracting people means that you're more likely to attract the people that will love you, that
really
do want to work with you. And I've just been on a podcast just before this one, actually, where I was the guest, and we were talking exactly about that, about your avatar and making sure that you are talking to your people. Because if you're trying to talk to everybody, you're just so vanilla and nobody will understand. And then you get into that huge, big negative cycle. Nobody wants me. I'm not a good coach. And it's not that. It's just your messaging's not quite as tight as it could have been.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And actually having the courage to stay tight when you, I mean, I work mainly with women. So if men come and say, can you work with me? I tend to say no, because I just know that's not my area of expertise.
Yep.
And I think there are probably other coaches out there that understand the male psyche better than I do. But initially I had to be quite courageous to turn that away, because you think, well, I'm turning away work, and you know, and early on you don't want to turn away anything, but then it allows you to really focus and really hone in on the people that you are serving and their needs, and which are, you know, can be very different.
Absolutely. And making sure that that is not a negative belief as well, is if I turn that particular person away, that means nobody else will come to me. And that's obviously total rubbish and definitely not true. And sometimes by actually turning people away, it makes it much clearer to others about the right people for you. So they're more likely to recommend you to the lady down the road that has X problem, as opposed to recommending you to 3 or 4 or 5 other people that are not your ideal audience.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would agree with that.
So we're thinking about managing these negative beliefs. So we've come to the awareness that maybe we're a bit hard on it ourselves. Maybe we're just saying just all the time, or we're apologizing for things that we don't really need to apologize for. Now that we've got that awareness, what do you think we should be doing to help manage those negative beliefs?
It's a daily practice, Kathy. It really is. It's a daily practice. And what I find really works for me is routine. So it's routine in my thinking, routine in my emotions, routine in my behavior. So, for example, I do a meditation for 20 minutes every single day. And I do it in the middle of the day, because I find that my energy kind of wanes halfway through the day or into early afternoon. And that just helps me get rid of any of the morning, whatever's been going on in the morning, to kind of brush that off, have a reset, re-energize myself. And if I do have negative beliefs when I sit, you know, because every day something pops up, or we're challenged, and I'll go into that meditation and think, okay, I'm bringing this with me and I'm letting it go.
Nice.
So the meditation's one way of doing it. The stop and think, I mean, I still do that a lot with myself. I'm constantly rewriting my own script.
Nice.
I think have some anchors, some mantras even, where you say, I mean, when I started my business, I actually used to say to myself every day, I am a capable, confident businesswoman, because I'd never run my own business before and I didn't really believe that I was a businesswoman. In my head, a businesswoman was someone that had a big team and was great with tax and, you know, could command an office, and I didn't really see that as me. So I had to say that to myself every day, and until it became a reality in my mind, you know, and now it is. So I think having any of these little daily routines that help you.
Perfect. And that's a perfect example of where you changed your belief, because your belief of what a businesswoman looked like wasn't what you wanted it to be.
Yeah.
So over the time and doing that, I am a successful businesswoman, you actually changed what you believed a businesswoman to be. So absolute perfect example. Love that.
Yeah.
The other thing I used to do a lot was, particularly when my children were young and I would go take my daughter to school, if I wore a uniform, and it didn't have to be a uniform per se, it was just something that I associated with work clothes. So if I were dressed up in my uniform and I took my daughter to school, all the ladies around and there was a couple of gentlemen would say, oh, you're working today, let's catch up after school. But if I didn't wear my uniform, then they'd say, oh, you're not working, do you want to go and have coffee? And that became an interesting belief and perception as well, because as soon as I put on my uniform, I was in work mode. I was that businesswoman. And obviously I radiated that because everybody around me knew that I was that businesswoman. So that's an interesting thing too. Yeah. So when you were saying about anchors before, sometimes they can actually be physical things.
That's right. Yes.
You can use as anchors.
Yeah. And I, you know what? I think the biggest one of all is to just do it. And I know everybody says that and Nike's got the tagline and everything. But when I first met my husband and we got married, he was offered a job in Spain and it meant speaking Spanish. And I don't speak any foreign languages. And in fact, I did French at school, but I was terrible the first couple of years. And the teacher more or less said, you shouldn't go on and study it because you're pretty awful at French. And I like to talk and I like to be part of community and everything. So I was really, really worried to the extent that I said to him, you can't take that job. We can't go because I will be so unhappy if I can't make friends and I can't speak Spanish. And he was saying, don't be ridiculous. Of course I'm going to take the job and you're going to come and it'll be for a short period of time and we'll love it and it'll be a great experience. And he just had no idea of my limiting belief from when I was a child. And so we went and I had in my head that this was just going to be the worst move that we ever did. And I just thought he was the meanest person because he was making me go. And of course, what happened, I went there and Spanish was on TV. It was on the signs around about me. I went to school to learn in the mornings. And within 6 months, I was fluent.
Oh, amazing.
And loved it because I was totally immersed in it.
Yes.
So sometimes the only way is when we actually don't have choice.
Yes.
You know, the sort of sink or swim thing. It's like you're going to get pushed in. And in the end, I would say the first year was really tough.
Yep.
But we were there for 3 years and the second 2 years were part of the best years of my life.
Excellent.
And I nearly denied both of us, myself in particular, of that growth.
Yes.
And that learning and that whole experience.
That's amazing. So can you still speak Spanish now?
Sí, un poco.
A little bit.
Yes, a little bit, yeah. Yeah, it was about 25 years ago. But my eldest daughter was born there and, and Spanish has been something in our life now ever since.
So if you hear it, can you pick it up more now?
Yes. Yeah. I actually... I understand it better than I speak it just because I've not practiced for so many years.
Yeah.
When I say I didn't want to go, I mean that I was having full on panic attacks about the idea of being in a country where I couldn't speak the language. And we weren't going to like Madrid or Barcelona where there's lots of English speaking expats. We lived in right up in the north in a mining town where it was real old Spain.
Yes.
I had to learn. And initially I would go out to do the groceries and I would just point, you know, a block of cheese, and then I would be using my hands to say that, you know, he'd say this piece, no, this piece.
Yeah.
We find other ways to communicate.
We do.
I think that's a big lesson, is that never mind what your subconscious thinks, just go and be in the moment and just survive in the moment.
And I think that's where we need to be looking at that, the where of where we're going as opposed to the how. And I actually did a live on that this morning, because we think about the steps of what we've got to do and we can only see so far down the road. Yes. Whereas if we can see further down the road, then we think, okay, we've got to get to that point, and then we work it backwards. We don't, like you say, when we get married, we don't think, okay, what's it going to be like in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years? We just go, he's my man or my lady or whatever you identify as, that they're my person and I want to do that right now. And you might think, well, it'd be great to still be with them in a year or two, but most people don't think about still being married in 50 years' time. Of course, they want to be, but you don't think about that. You just go into marriage thinking, they're my person, let's go forward. So I think a lot of times, and you mentioned about the baby crawling before and walking, is they just get up and try to walk. They want to get to mum, to dad, the toy, whatever. It's not so much about, okay, I've got to put one foot in front of each other. But when we get into business, we start reverting back to that. We've got to put one foot in front of each other, and we don't often think about what the big picture is and where we can go, and then try to work it back to the how. So then we start limiting ourselves because we can only see so far. Whereas if we think, right, I could have a business that, pick a number, has $1 million, but I don't know how to get that. So the limiting belief goes, well, there's no way I could do that. Whereas if we did know the how, we'd go, yeah, no problems. Or that's if we'd already done it, if we already have a business that's $1 million and somebody says, can you do 10 million? They go, yeah, I think so, because you've already got that evidence. So I think sometimes those limiting beliefs, we just need to go, okay, where do we want to go, and stop worrying about the how.
And I think another thing is giving ourselves time, because, you know, it took me a full good year in Spain to be able to feel, okay, yeah, I really can understand. I was able after 6 months to understand the basics and speak. But like if someone told a joke, I couldn't laugh at a joke, for example. You know, there's those nuances. And I think there's that great saying that we overestimate what we can achieve in a week and underestimate what we can achieve in a year. And I think if we can say, all right, well, that's why sometimes having longer goals is good. Say, I'm going to give myself 3 years to get to that stage in my business, and give ourselves room to breathe so that it maybe just is one step a day.
Yeah.
But I find we're very hard on ourselves, coaches and people, you know, giving, caring, because we want to help others. So at the focusing on the business side of it's probably not our main priority. But you don't have others to help if you don't focus on the business side.
Exactly. And I think that's where people get up, caught up on their pricing. We're covering all the gamuts today, is that they don't want to price it high. They don't want people to pay them lots of money because they think it is that caring and they should be doing it for free. But if you do price it high and you do have that confidence and you have people pay that lots of money, then you can do a whole pile of things for free and you get to choose that, because now you've covered your basic costs, you've fed your family, you've done all the things that you need. And the other thing I like about you saying about 3-year goals is if we give ourselves 3 years to do it and we don't do it in the first year, we don't do it in the second year, we don't do it in 2.5 years, but we make it by three, we're still succeeded.
That's right.
If we only give ourselves a year and we didn't make it in the first year, then we think we're a failure.
Yeah. And give up. And I think that's a big one. I think giving ourselves time and giving ourselves permission to grow slowly and to learn on the way, I think that's really important.
That is. And I think that's a nice segue to finish this part of the podcast. So at this stage, I get to ask you 5 questions. Ooh, are you game, man?
Absolutely. Fire away.
What's the best advice given to you by a mentor?
To be me, not to try and do everything from someone else's templates.
Love it. What do they say? There's no point being somebody else because they're already taken.
Yeah.
I think that might have been a Marie Forleo one, but probably butchered a bit, but you get the idea. What's the biggest help you've received since starting your business?
It would be within networking groups, actually. Okay. I think meeting other business owners, being able to share stories, clients, what we are doing right now. You know, a lot of help, a lot of support, the community.
Fantastic. What is the one thing that you have to do every day, your non-negotiable?
My meditation.
Nice.
That I mentioned earlier. Yeah.
What is your favorite business book and why?
Hey, favorite business book, golly, there are so many, aren't they? One of the very first ones I read was Dale Carnegie. Think Thingy and Grow Rich. What's the title? You know the one I mean?
Yes. Now that you've said it, I've lost it.
And I probably read that when I was about 18, and I started a dancing school when I was 17. I qualified as a dancing teacher, and I read that book then, and it was my first delving into believing. And at that point, it was like, oh, you'll never make money as a dancing teacher, and I had, I have people around me with all those limiting beliefs. But at such a young age, it's such a big impact on me that it's still one that I turn to.
Perfect. And what do you wish you'd known when you started out?
I think I wish I'd known the power of limiting beliefs, that how damaging they can be, and that I even had limiting beliefs because I didn't even know that I
Oh, that couldn't happen to us. No way would we be doing that. And that's the old fear thing, isn't it? False evidence appearing real, that we stop ourselves doing so many things because we're scared or because of that negative belief or that limiting belief. And just go out and have a try.
That's right.
There's
That's
very
right.
few things in our day-to-day lives that are really going to do a lot of harm.
That's
So
right.
just go out and have a try.
That's right. Yeah.
So thank you, Anne. Is there anything that we should have said that we haven't?
No, I think we actually covered quite a lot, and I think you and I could talk for another hour, I reckon.
I think we could. I think we could. Maybe we may have to have a second edition because you did give me a lot of topics. So I'm sure we could
We
delve
could.
into that again. So, listeners, if you would like to have Anne back on, please do let us know. And if they would like to contact you right now, Anne, how do they get in touch?
The best place is probably via my website. It's just annmckeown.com. So ANNEMCKEOWN .com. And on there, I've actually got a free book that people can download called Take Back Control of Your Life. And there's a bit of a workbook in there that can be helpful. And yeah, I'm on other social media platforms, LinkedIn and whatever, just under my name, Anne McEwan.
Fantastic. And we will drop those links in the show notes. And thank you for your time, Anne.
Thank you. It's been really lovely, and keep up the good work. I love what you do, Kathy. It's very important.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And SBT audience, remember, enjoy your journey. Hey, did you enjoy this podcast? Why don't you go and check out the Coach's Marketing Roadmap, your step-by-step guide to accelerate your journey to a thriving coaching business. The Coaches Marketing Roadmap.com.au. And don't forget to subscribe to Small Business Talk for Coaches podcast. Go to smallbusinesstalk.com.au for all the show notes from this episode. Remember, coaches, to be great, you must start. Pick one tip from today's episode. Take action and implement it. Coaches, you've got this. Let's meet again next week at the same time and place. Remember, just start. One step at a time, take consistent action, and enjoy your journey.